The sermon this morning comes from Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, starting with verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth. Pray with me. Our great and powerful God, thank you for giving us the pathways of life, so that we may walk in them. Bless us now as we seek your face. Glorified now as we strive to know you better, as we look at what you have said, and give us hearts that love you, hearts that will pursue you, so that you'll be glorified. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I was once invited to a WVU, West Virginia University football game. And normally I wouldn't accept such an invitation. I don't have a lot of interest in being a spectator of anything. But there was this rumor going around that the people planned on ripping down the goalposts after the game. And I thought, well, that might at least be interesting. So I went to this football game, and the whole game goes on. It's over, and people pour out of the stands and go running across the field, charging this goalpost, and I watched with great interest. And then security guards came storming from the other side, and they had their helmets on with the face guards and this body armor kind of thing and billy clubs, and I thought, oh, well, here we are now. The game may have been worth it. And as they charged and the people grabbed the goalpost, they also pulled out these canisters. I guess they were some kind of crowd control, mace or tear gas, and they started spraying the people. And they start running, some of them. But there was this one guy who absolutely refused to submit to the authority. And even after everyone else ran away, he's standing, holding onto this goalpost by himself, yanking on it back and forth. And all the guards came around and were just standing there, spraying this tear gas in his face, and then he charged them, and they put him down with a billy club, and I just watched, thought, wow. Wow. What was all of that, and what was up with this guy? And there was just this overall sense of stupidity and futility to the whole thing, and especially this one man who absolutely would not yield to the authority that was in place. And I looked at the pain that came from it. Here we have this command in Scripture that's placing this authority and displaying this authority where it says, children, obey your parents. And there is so much pain and misery that comes from rejecting authority. But it isn't being brought to you necessarily. It's not that kind of authority. Not the kind of somebody just wanting to save a goalpost. That's not why this command is being given. But this is the beautiful and amazing structure that God is building. As we already looked at the relationship to husbands and wives, how husbands are to love their wives as Christ loved the church, how wives are to submit to their husbands. And then within this family unit, the next piece that's being given is the role of children in the midst of the family. But this is coming to us in the context of something much broader. It's not just talking to children, telling them to obey their parents. It's also a display for each of us to submit to every authority that has been placed over us. For each of us, one of those authorities is the session. That's the truth for me too. And for the session, it's our presbytery. For our presbytery, it's the synod. For many of us, it would be our bosses at work. For for many of us, that anyone who's more gifted than us and any skills where we're working with them. There's this position that God has placed each of us in where we have authority over us. But we're getting this command in the context of something much broader and much more beautiful. You shouldn't be approaching this command, children, obey your parents, as if he's one of these guards with a billy club and the mace. But this whole statement and this whole book has been bringing us to this place. The book starts off in chapter 1, where it calls you saints. Saints, calling you holy ones, ones who have been set apart. It talks about who you are in this, and it talks about who Christ is in verses 9 through 11. He's your Savior, and He's the one who reigns over all, and that you are in Him. In chapter 2, it explains how you were dead, but in Christ you are now alive. Saying, as you were dead and now you're alive, you have this position, and we're to be working in the context of the authorities God has placed in your life. You were dead and now you are alive. It also says you are God's workmanship. We talked about this before. It's in chapter 2:10. You are God's workmanship. And we said that word there is poema. You are God's poem. Created in Christ Jesus for the purpose of good works, that you will walk in them. Works that He prepared beforehand for you to walk in them. In 2:13, it says, you are in the holy family and have been brought near to God. In 2:14 and 16, it says, Christ is our peace. So from this place of rescue, this place of salvation, this place of being in Christ, we have peace. In chapter 3, it says, you're an heir and a member of Christ's body. It says, we're strengthened with power, rooted, grounded in love, filled with the fullness of God. So as this is all built in chapter 4, it says, so walk in a manner worthy of your calling. So it's not as if we're grabbing children and saying, just shaking them and saying, obey. But it's saying, look at who you are. Look at what has been done for you. Look how you have been raised from the dead. Look how you are in Christ. And as it builds all of this in chapter 5, it says, so be imitators of God. So be imitators of God. Walking in newness of life, having been rescued from death. From here, he says, so children, obey your parents. Honor your father and your mother, being imitators of God. So, the call is simple, as it usually is here. Children, little children, submit to the authority God has placed over you. Submit to it in Christ Jesus. Now as we go on this journey, our first step is for you to focus on your work of obedience as in the Lord, and that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to take us back to Ephesians 1, verses 9 through 10. He made known to us the mystery of His will according to the kind intention which He purposed in Him, that is in Christ, with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of the times, that is, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things on the earth. Your role as you submit to the authority, children, to your parents, the rest of us, to our sessions, to our presbytery, to our bosses, to the governments, this is taking place as God is putting all things in order under Christ Jesus. The alternative is chaos. Chaos. Have you been in a home where the children don't submit to their parents? Chaos. Chaos. Have you seen people full out reject the authority of the government? Chaos. Rebellion. Anarchy. Have you been in a workplace where the people don't follow the boss? I have heard story after story of the steel mills where my dad worked, and he tells me stories of the chess games and the poker games, and recently the story of an alcoholic telling someone to bring him more vodka in the steel mill setting. No wonder it's been closed. Chaos, where people don't submit to the authorities that have been put in place. Now, as the things have been summed up, we're shown in chapter 6, verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Well, what's it mean to be in the Lord? What does it mean to be in the Lord? Well, someone recently told me, gave me this great illustration that she had gotten from someone else. And in our family worship time, we were talking about what it means to be in Christ. And Nate, he's gotten this Boy Scout handbook where there's this one page that's loose to it. And we sat down and I took this Boy Scout handbook with this loose page and I took a Bible and I said, imagine that this book was destined for destruction. It was going to be destroyed. It was going to be burned up. And I took his one page out of the book that had been loose and took it and I placed it in our Bible. You are like that page. Have been taken from the place of destruction, placed in Christ Jesus. And the person who shared this illustration with me said, so look, wherever this book goes, this page goes. So wherever Christ goes, you go. Christ has died, you have died. If Christ has been resurrected, you have been resurrected. If Christ is at the right hand of the Father, you're at the right hand of the Father. If Christ is the anointed one, you are anointed with the Holy Spirit. And from this place, we rejoice having been rescued from destruction. From this place, we rejoice at being in Christ. And in Christ, we submit and we obey. We see a Christ who walked the earth submitting to every authority that had been put in place. Every authority that had been put in place. And you are in Christ Jesus. Made new. Made alive. Washed. Made clean. So this work of obedience must be a work of love, as Christ obeyed out of love for the Father. We obey out of a love for Christ. Children, why obey your parents? Why? Why should you obey your parents? Why? Because you're in Christ, and Christ obeyed His Father. Because you're in Christ, and Christ obeyed His Father. Why do you obey the presbytery, the session, the synod? Because you're in Christ. Christ obeyed every authority. Why do you obey the government? Because you're in Christ, and Christ obeyed the government. We submit to every authority that's been placed over us until they tell us to disobey Christ, who is our first loyalty. But beyond that, there is no excuse. There is no excuse. Now our next step, simply, children, obey your parents. Ephesians 6:1. Okay. Get this. I am standing before you with the absolute full authority of God Himself as I read this passage. The full authority of God Himself. When Moses would stand up and say, thus saith the Lord, he's saying, this is what God is saying. Each of you now This is what God is saying. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. What else do you need? What else do you need? You see, as you obey your parents, this is placing yourself under them. This is submitting to them. This is listening to them when they speak the first time and doing it from your heart with a cheerful heart. What excuse do you have? Now, as we look at this, the story of Scripture, as we go through, there's constant examples, but a beautiful place to look to is the Proverbs. As it gives these principles of life and these principles of conduct. One of the reasons that we submit after we say, because this is what Christ says to do, after we say, because we are in Christ and Christ submitted, is for you to appreciate their wisdom. I have been trying to give people this understanding. Long ago in the Old Testament, when Solomon's son had become king, at one point, these people, the people came to him and said, look, he's this burden on us. Your father worked us and taxed us and taxed us to build the temple and to build this palace. Will you ease this burden? And he went to the elders. The elders said, do it. Do it. Ease their burden. Ease their burden. And they will love you for the rest of your life. But then it says, and he went to his peers to get counsel from them. And they said, nah, put them in their place. Don't listen to them. And that's what he did. In the kingdom, the church was ripped in half. Here's the part of the frightening thing for me. His peers that he went to, they were in their 40s. And these are shown as the young men. These are shown as the young fools. People in their 40s. And there is an enormous benefit for you to go to the wisdom of your elders. The wisdom of those who have seen long life, who have seen days. Do you realize our elders in our congregation, not me, but the older men, do you realize what they've seen, how much they've seen? They have seen people's entire lives, multiple people's entire lives, from birth through their adolescence, to their young adulthood, to their adulthood, to see them be parents and grandparents, even to see them pass away. They've seen people's entire lives. And there is a wisdom that comes from that, a wisdom that comes from that, to see the course of life. And I am not yet 40 years old. And I need the wisdom of my elders. I need it. I need it. I study the Scripture, I read the Scripture, and I need the wisdom of my elders. Children, you need the wisdom of your parents. You need it. You need it. You do not understand how much they have seen. You do not understand how much they know. You need their wisdom. And it is for this reason the Scripture says in the Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. That's saying, if you hate being told what to do, if you hate receiving wisdom from someone, if you hate being instructed on what to do, you're a fool. You're a fool. Proverbs 1:22, how long, O naive ones, will you love being simple-minded? And scoffers delight themselves in scoffing, and fools hate knowledge. Proverbs 15:5, a fool rejects his father's discipline, but he who regards proof is sensible. This is the case in our homes for our children. Fools despise their wisdom, their father's instruction. And this is the case for us too, us adults, as we deal with other fathers, as we deal with elders, sessions, presbyteries, people that God has placed over us. Fools despise instruction because they have seen long life. They have seen fullness of days. You must count them as a blessing. So appreciate their wisdom and seek it out. Now here's a small statement at the end of Ephesians 6:1, but it's an important one. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. And it simply says, for this is right. It might seem simple, but you consider the other side of it. Anything that's not right is wrong. And here would even be the case, for it's evil not to submit to your parents. It's evil. You're doing evil. Ephesians 4:22-24. And in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. So what are we talking about here? Following righteousness, walking in truth, or being in the old self, being in death, walking in death. See, to disobey parents and to disobey the authorities that God has placed over you is actual evil. It's actual evil. There's a TV show that we've started watching, and part of the difficulty is we have trouble figuring out, is this a good guy or a bad guy as you watch it? Because all the characters in this are just so real. People fall short, and sometimes they excel, and sometimes they fall, sometimes they excel. We were recently listening to Treasure Island as a family, and I'd seen different versions of Treasure Island in movies. And Long John Silver, sometimes he seems like he's an okay guy, and you're wondering, is he a good guy or is he a bad guy? But in the book, you see a cold-blooded murderer. And I had this weight lifted off of me as I listened to this book. I said, oh, okay, so he's a bad guy. And I was relieved. Okay, I can put him in the bad guy pocket now. But life isn't exactly like that. This other story that we watch is closer to real life. We're eager to take people, and we're eager to put them in the bad guy pocket. Scripture says we each go in the bad guy pocket. We each fall short. We each fall grossly short. And as we look at this world and we would categorize different things as evil, we would say murder's evil. Robbing a bank, usually evil. There's so much. So much. Every violation of God's law, every violation of His word is actual evil. Every time that we don't submit to authority, it's actual evil. Every time you don't obey your parents, children, it's actual evil. Every time we reject the wisdom and the counsel that's given to us by those that God has placed over us, it's actual evil. And this is why in Ephesians 5, verses 1 through 2, it says, after talking about your rescue, it says, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you, and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. So our next step as we walk on this journey is to honor your father and your mother. Ephesians 6:2, honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. The word there for honor is to affix value to, or to affix a high price to. And I think you can probably resonate with this. Some of the deepest pains in life come from not being honored, or not being valued. If people would look at you and they wouldn't count you as worthy, they wouldn't count you as precious. And this happens in different ways, sometimes by persecution, sometimes simply by neglect. In the home, children, it is your responsibility to honor your parents, to assign them value. And I'll have you know, you grieve your parents when you don't do this. Proverbs 10:1. A wise son makes a father glad, but a foolish son is a grief to his mother. The first time I spoke in a church, it was in Colmont Community Church, and they had me come up for 5 to 7 minutes to share my testimony. And afterwards, I sat down and I sat next to my dad. And there was just something in me that was dying to hear a good word from him. Dying to hear it. And he glanced over at me and he just whispered, "Good job." My eye sockets began to burn. I don't know what it was. At that moment, there's this special value that's been placed in each of our hearts that we want to honor a father. We want a father to look on us and smile. That's why Proverbs 10:1 says, a wise son makes a father glad. And I could tell a story too about myself, but a foolish son is a grief to his mother. And I have been a grief to my mother. You who have been a grief to your mother know the sorrow that attaches to your heart from such an experience. So honor your father and your mother. Now God doesn't just set this out here, but he places this promise attached to it. It's fascinating and it's exciting when God does this. Because he can't just say, do it. And that should be good enough. And it is good enough when he does that. But here, he says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth. We have this idea of God as Father as well, and we see these blessings that have been bestowed upon us. These blessings have been bestowed upon us because of the obedience of Christ. As you're in Christ, as you trust in Him, as He obeyed His Father perfectly, it's like this waterfall of blessing that comes down on us. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, this is Ephesians 1:3, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. So there is this spiritual reality that's taking place, that we are blessed in Christ as we're united with Him. But still there's this misery that takes place when you fight against authority. There's misery in the home when you fight against authority, isn't there, children? You know that. You know the sorrow attached to fighting against your parents. Well, when Saul was approached by Christ, this is his account of it, and when he had fallen to the ground, he said, I heard a voice saying to me in the Hebrew dialect, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads. This idea that a goad, when they'd have an animal and they'd be plowing with it, and they'd have the yoke on it that's pulling a plow behind it, they'd have a stick with a sharp piece on it. And it could be a metal piece, like a spear. And as they'd go along, as the ox or whatever it was pulling and it wouldn't go, they'd stab it. And if the thing kicked at them, they'd just stab it again. And they would just keep stabbing, and this thing's not going to win. You're not going to win. Fighting against God, you're not going to win. It's hard to kick against the goads. You rebel against your parents. You rebel against the authorities that God has placed over you. You're kicking against the goads. And it's going to be awful. It's going to be awful. And if you can't submit to the authority, no, I won't say if you can't. If you're in Christ, you can. But if you won't, I grieve for you. I grieve for you. I grieve for the pain that you will face, the misery that you will face, the sorrow that you'll face. I grieve for you. I grieve also because you won't be a delight to your parents. I grieve also because you'll be a sorrow to your father and a grief to your mother. The amazing thing is that even if the person in authority over you was a derelict, they've still been placed there by God. And it's your responsibility to submit, to obey. Now we do this not out of a cold place, but again, as we looked at the whole story of Ephesians, how it's playing out. You see, God isn't, as I said, trying to rescue a goalpost and telling you submit that way. But he's rebuilding. He's creating a holy people to dwell in their midst through Christ Jesus. And you're a part of that structure. You're a part of that structure. You're a stone in that structure as this holy house is being built up. And this church is such a holy house. This assembly. You see, this church is made of families. Families are made out of fathers and mothers, or mothers and children. This family is made out of you. And as you have been loved, as you've been made new, as you are in Christ, submit to these authorities. Submit to these authorities and be a delight to them. Do it all in Christ and rejoice in Christ, because you are His and you've been brought from darkness to light. Because you are in Christ, so be imitators of Christ. Pray with me. Oh God, our God, we rejoice in the work that you've done in Christ and how you have drawn us, how you've given us saving faith. Cause us to walk in faith. Cause us to walk in these pathways of life, that you'll be glorified as we are in your Son. Thank you again for our great salvation. Now please apply this word to our hearts so that we will honor you, that we will display your value. Now for each of us, show us in what ways we must repent. Show us how to seek forgiveness rightly so that you'll be glorified in reconciliation. That you'll turn a father's heart to his children and children's hearts to their fathers and their mothers. And that these stones will be built well. This house will be built well for you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.